barreled weighed empty, that good ship and true was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early. Gordon Lightfoot, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. The ship later christened the Edmund Fitzgerald was the brainchild of the Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance Company, headquartered in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Northwestern Mutual had been investing for some time in the mining and processing of iron and other similar minerals dug out of the ground around the Great Lakes. And in 1957, Northwestern Mutual became the first life insurance company in America to invest in a ship to haul the ore. Since the company was already blazing a trail into new territory, its executives were determined to do it right. They contacted the Great Lakes Engineering Works, or GLUE, located in River Rouge, Michigan, and contracted with him to design and build a ship that would be as close as possible to the maximum length of any vessel allowed through the almost completed St. Lawrence Seaway. Upon completion, the ship was 730 feet long and 75 feet wide, with a draft of 25 feet. She was 39 feet tall from her keel to her funnel, with all but 6 feet of her depth utilized for holding cargo. As a result, the ship could carry approximately 26,000 long tons in her 729-foot hull. The long hull would later impress even experienced sailors who had sailed for years. Andrew Reiner, who served on the Fitzgerald for a few weeks in 1975, observed, "It's a funny feeling to walk down the ship and have that ship springing. Even if you go down the tunnel, it is a long way down to the other end. You have something moving underneath you, and you really are not sure of what you are standing on. But after a while, you get used to it. You just forget about it." When the time came to name the ship, the board of directors of Northwestern decided to honor their president by naming the new investment the Edmund Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald's family was well known in the Milwaukee area for civic contributions, but they also had a long nautical history. Fitzgerald's grandfather had been a captain on the Great Lakes at the turn of the 20th century, and his father owned the Milwaukee Dry Dock Company. Edmund Fitzgerald himself had spearheaded the idea of investing in a freighter, and his wife was chosen to swing the bottle of champagne that would christen the ship on June 7, 1958. As with the launching of the Titanic, many of those who were among the 15,000 guests present that day would look back and wonder if the event itself had been some sort of bad omen, because when Elizabeth struck the bottle on the ship's bow, it refused to break. It took her 2 more swings to shatter the glass and spill the expensive liquid over the new hull. At that moment, the keel blocks were supposed to be snatched away and the ship was supposed to slide elegantly into the lake, but nothing happened. The crew scurried around trying one thing after another until finally, more than a half hour later, the ship was freed from its dry dock. Even then, instead of gliding into the lake, it lurched sideways and slammed into a nearby pier. More than 3 months would pass before the Fitzgerald finally completed her sea trials and was allowed to begin work. For more than a decade, the Fitzgerald reigned supreme as the Queen of the Lakes, with the SS Murray Bay her only rival in size. Not only was the ship large, the Fitzgerald was also safe. She featured a well-equipped pilot house with the best equipment available, and her 3 holds were divided by 21 steel watertight hatches. In 1969, the company installed a bow thruster that improved the ship's safety and maneuverability. And over the winter of 1971 and 72, she was modernized with oil burners to replace her coal-fired engines. According to Delmore Webster, who had once served on the Fitzgerald, the ship was sturdily built and should have been able to stand some pretty bad weather. When you were in a heavy sea, in heavy weather, it rolled. It wasn't in excess of other boats I have been on. I mean, it is not like she had an unusual characteristic for rolling. Another man, Richard Orgel, who also served on the ship, concurred, saying, "When you were standing forward and looking aft, it would remind you of a diving board just after somebody jumped off. The board, the diving board of a swimming pool. She did this whippingly. It seems that when the sea piles up under her stern and then falls away, she just doesn't drop down into the trough. The stern doesn't drop into the trough like you would expect it. It whips is the best word, or springs is the best way I could describe it." That said, Orgel later recalled a conversation he had with Captain Ernest M. McSorley about a potential problem. "I asked him if it was possible that this action could actually cause the hatch clamps to come off. He said no, he had never seen that happen. And I remarked to him that there was sometimes a lot of action back there. He told me if she started working too much, I should alter course and call him. He said he was going to be laying on top of his bed. He wasn't going to undress or anything. And if I had